This month we've been studying some of the attributes and some of the things about what's important about Christian and being a Christian. And we started out by talking about wisdom. Last week we shared about courage. And this week we're going to talk about something that I think is maybe a little different. Something that maybe we haven't really thought about that much, because it's a word that we use, but it's a word that can be misused, and that is the word justice. I think we all want justice in the world. You read stories in the newspaper. All of us have talked about, I know we had talked about with some of us this week, about the story of the couple who had, I think, 12 or 13 kids, and the kids were chained to their beds, and the room was filthy, and they'd been locked in this room. And they range from age, 2 or 3, all the way to in their 20s. And one of the children was able to get out and went to the police and told the police what was going on. They went to the house and they found all these kids. It's just atrocious. And if we read that story, our first thought is we want justice for those kids, right? We want to see something good come out of this for the sake of these kids. That's what we think about when we think about the word justice. Well, I want to kind of put a little lighter spin on it this morning, because I don't want to get us too down. Okay, say for instance you are a parent and there's 4 kids. And the kids are screaming at you for a snack. They want a snack, okay? So you line the kids up, and you line the 4 kids up, and you give the first kid a granola bar, you give the second kid a granola bar, you give the third kid a granola bar, and you realize when you get to the 4th kid that you've run out of granola bars. So the 4th kid is going to probably say the immortal words that all parents hear, and adults hear as well: that's not fair. They got granola bars, I didn't get a granola bar. And so you rummage around your cabinets and you find a chocolate bar. So you give the 4th kid a chocolate bar. Now the 4th kid's feeling pretty good, right? Well, the first 3 kids are probably going to say, that's not fair. He got a chocolate bar, I got a granola bar. That's not fair. You can't win, right? I hear that word all the time. When I was working with kids in the group home, you know, one kid got a certain privilege because they had earned it. Other kids didn't get that privilege because they didn't earn it. That's not fair. I remember we had one girl that came to us from Oakland. She had lived, she was only about 12, 13 years old, 14 years old. She had already lived a life that no child that age should have to go through and live. But she was new to the house. She had just got there. So she had to, there was a period of time when she get to the house that because she came from the law, she didn't come through social services. She came because of a probation officer. So she had to be under a certain amount of, you know, we had to watch her for a while. We couldn't give her the same privileges that we gave the other kids because she was brand new in the house. That was part of the rules. And so she came to me, as I was the house manager, she came to me and she wanted to do what the other kids were doing. And I tried to tell her, you can't. You have to stay here. That's not fair. How many times in life have we told our kids that life just isn't fair, right? Life isn't fair. Some people get promotions while other people who work just as hard don't get promotions. Some people get more money in their tax return than other people's get. It's not fair. Life's not fair. And the trouble is, I think, that we tend to have our own perception of what justice is or what is fair in life. What we think is fair to ourselves isn't necessarily fair to somebody else. And so when we use the word justice, what does that mean? What does it mean to feel just? Or what does it mean to experience justice? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what justice is, and then we're going to try to lean into a little bit about how we can be just ourselves. So what is justice? Well, when we speak of justice, what usually comes to mind? A couple words, two or three words. Punishment, maybe, right? Judgment, making sure that the people who have done wrong get what they deserve. Maybe it's fairness, that everybody is treated equally, given the same equal opportunity. Rightness, or more formally, righteousness, is justice. It's simply doing the right thing because we know it's the right thing, as opposed to, of course, the wrong thing. Now, all these concepts go into a broader meaning of justice, but none of them really fulfill what justice is. We may be tempted to start with the concept of getting what you deserve, judgment. I think this is a notion that we probably connect with more than anything else. It's the one that's probably the most prevalent in our society today. Whenever we hear about justice on the news, it's usually in context with some criminal who is getting what they deserve. I know that's how I sometimes see it. When I think of that word, and that can be a very powerful, powerful emotion. When we hear of a horrid crime, the desire for justice can be done. That justice can be done can be an overwhelming emotion, and it can lead us to doing some things that we probably wouldn't normally do. But I think justice is far more than just getting what you deserve. I mean, if we leave it there, then we have to ask the question, who is the judge? Who makes the decision of what justice is? I mean, what if you have been given the opportunity to act on your sense of justice at that time? What would you say? What would you do? If I was to ask you this morning, what would you do if it was up to you to make a judgment call on somebody else? What if it was me? I mean, would I be right? Would you be right? Who would be right? Who makes that decision? That's the problem that arises if we look at justice as simply getting what you deserve. Somebody or something has to work over and above individuals to determine what justice is. Or what will happen is we'll sink into everybody doing what is right in their own eyes. And that is exactly what the servant, the Messiah, came to save us from. We can also say that justice is about equal treatment, equality. I think it is certainly equal treatment that rests at the heart of one of the most profound calls of justice that has ever been spoken. This last week, we celebrated the birthday of Martin Luther King. And I have a copy of his I have a dream speech, and it's only about a page and a half long. And I thought, wow, that's not a very long speech. And this week, I had the privilege of going on, I think it was Facebook or YouTube, and I got to watch him actually on video in 1963 in Washington, D.C., delivering this speech. And it was a lot longer than I thought it was. Matter of fact, it goes on for about 20 minutes before he even starts to comment about, I have a dream. And his whole speech, at least 20 times in his speech, he uses the word freedom. Justice, equal treatment for all. And I thought this morning, as we celebrated last week his birthday, I thought I'd read some quotes from his speech, if that's okay with you. He said, "This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquility drug of graduation. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to open the doors of opportunity to all of God's children. Now is the time to lift our nations from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. The whirlwind of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But there is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the presence of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. For we can never be satisfied as long as a black person in Mississippi cannot vote and a black person in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no. We are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. For I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a desert state sweltering with a heart, with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. And I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Powerful words. And if you were given the opportunity to listen to that whole speech, I know it was midnight and I was still reading, listening to that speech. It was profound. Even though it was written shortly before my birth, over 54 years ago, or it was said. And no one would argue that equality itself is part of justice. But again, just as with justice, much more is needed. For what if the equal treatment is equally poor treatment? Is that justice? Think about this. If in our society today, if there was a law that was presented that said that every couple could only have one child, and if they had more than one child, the penalty for that would be the death of that child, either through abortion or through infanticide. Is that justice? No. Equal treatment or equality may be a part of justice, but it is not all of what justice is. In both of the examples so far, the higher standard is certainly needed. Judgment itself is important, yes, but by which standard is judgment made? Equality itself is important, but again, at what standard, what rule would this equal treatment be given? Justice is judgment. It is also equality, but is also righteousness, doing which is right. Justice is doing what is right. In the Bible, the two concepts are closely intertwined, even to the point where often translators do not know which term to use. Righteousness or justice, whenever the topic comes up. And who decides what was right in that society? Who decides what is right today? Well, I give you the answer. It's God. God is the one who makes the decision, who decides what is right and what is wrong. And God will always be the ultimate determiner of what is right. And that is why only He can really establish justice in this world. This word, righteousness, it's not a term that we use often, is it? We just don't. And usually when we do, it's in a negative way. And we say, oh, what a self-righteous person that person is. We're casting judgment on that person. But to understand God's judgment, or true justice, we have to take righteousness, doing what is right, into account. or what we leave is a justice that's hollow. So that's justice. Doing the right thing. Listening to God. Not doing it, you know, because it's what we think is right. There's too many people in this world today that are making decisions based on their perception of what justice is or what their perception of right is, and it gets them into trouble. There's been times in my life when things haven't gone the way I thought they would go. There was times when I wanted an advancement in my job and I didn't get it, someone else got it. And when I asked why I wasn't considered, the answer was always the same: you're too valuable where you are. Is that fair? Well, probably to the eyes of my boss it was. Maybe some of you have been in similar situations. Things that have happened in your life that you think were not just. But if we look back on it, sometimes we can say something good did come out of it. There was a positive there. But because our perception was that it wasn't just, because it wasn't what made us feel good or it wasn't what we wanted, in our minds, it wasn't just. So how can we be just today? Well, I want you to open your Bibles if you have them with you. There's Bibles in the pews. To the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4 this morning. So if you have them with you, you can open them up. I'll give you a little bit of time. And as you're doing that, I want to share that our passage from Isaiah is actually one of the first times the word Messiah is written about in the Old Testament. Now, Isaiah doesn't mention him by name, but most theologians agree that the servant in verse 1 and onward is indeed the Messiah. And when we read these verses, one thing stands out pretty quickly. The servant, the Messiah, Jesus, is all about justice. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In this way, the islands will put their hope." So, in order to see what justice really is, in order for us to live justly, what we need to do today is to see what Christ brought when he came to earth. The servant, Christ, looked forward in this passage to bring judgment to a people who deserved it. But here's the catch. He went beyond that. Not only did he come to ensure that all of us get what we deserve, what did he do? He took justice upon himself. Taking upon himself what he didn't deserve so that we could have a chance before God. So how do we become just? By turning to God, living our life with him in control, living our lives so that he has full authority over us, so that through wisdom that we've already talked about, through courage that we've already talked about, we can understand what is right, what is good. So our perception is not about what we want, but it is about what God wants for us. He was to bring equality to a people who did not treat each other fairly. And what does the gospel do if not treat everybody, regardless of any of their classifications in society? Talks about equality under God. Each one of you here today, we're all equal. It doesn't matter how long we've known Christ. It doesn't matter how long we've been a part of this church or a part of this community of faith. We are all equal under God. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter how long you have been a part of the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter where you stand in the social economic ladder. The gospel lets us all know that we are sinners. We need to be saved. And the only way that we can be saved is through what? Christ. And he was to do this rightly according to God's law. He was to bring justice to all. And that is why the nations are referred to in verse 1. He will do this with God's Spirit on him, which means that God's power will work through him, God's favor will be upon him, and that when he does these things, bringing equality to the people, he's doing it as if God was doing it himself. He will do this in such a way that all will be given a chance to face justice without being wiped off the face of the earth, which is, I guess, what we deserve, really. But he took it upon himself to die for us, so we didn't have to go through that. Verse 2 and 3 addresses how he will bring justice in such a manner that a bruised reed will not break, a smoldering wick will not be snuffed out. Now, it is often the case in our society that the weakest suffer most at the hands of what we call justice. But the servant will make sure that even the weakest can have justice and have it fairly, that they will have a chance before God. And the servant will not fail to bring justice. That is the point of verse 4. He will not falter. He will not give up. He will not set us aside. He will not put us in a position where we are faced with justice on our own. He will succeed in bringing justice to a world that desperately, desperately needs it. Today, there is justice that needs to happen in this world. And there needs to be people who live a life of justice, who are willing to make the right decisions, who are willing to stand up for what is right, even if it goes against society's norms. Martin Luther King had a dream that this world will be filled with people who were equal in everything. That hasn't happened yet, because we still live in a class society. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and society and the people in the middle, they're kind of stuck. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. But that dream is still alive in all of us who is able to live a life of just. What does this mean for all of us today? Well, it means that we are to be a people who strive to practice justice or to live justly. I read some scripture this morning, or we read some scripture this morning for our call to worship from Micah 6:8, from the prophet Micah. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? What does he require of me? What does it require of all of us? If we are to stand here today and call ourselves Christians, if we are to stand here today and say that we are children of God, that we trust in God, that we believe in God, that we believe that Jesus Christ came to die for us, to take it upon himself, what he didn't deserve, to take away what we deserved, and to put it upon himself, what does he require of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And what does that mean? To act justly means to give people what they deserve when it is our prerogative to do so. And it doesn't mean that we are to simply dish out punishment, but it also means that we are to give people a positive, enriching response, to give the benefit of the doubt, to give trust, to give of ourselves. To act justly means we strive to be people who treat people, all people, equally. To act justly means that we are to do what is right in the eyes of God. Now, that's a huge calling, isn't it? That's kind of going against society's expectations. It's a huge calling that none of us should ever try to do by ourselves. There are people out there who seem to believe that it is their calling to go out and change the world single-handedly, and it cannot be done. It cannot be done. And that is why that we must look to the servant, the Messiah, Jesus, for help, because he came to bring justice for all and to help those who take him seriously to live just as people like that as well. A life where we call upon him for that strength, because we are going to be faced in the days and weeks and months ahead. There are going to be times when we are going to be faced with obstacles in our life where our first response is going to be, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. Jesus even said, it's not going to be easy, folks. It's not going to be a cakewalk. You're going to have rough days and you're going to have good days. That's all part of life. That's all part of growing. That's all part of experiencing life. He said, but don't worry. I'm with you. I will guide you. I will give you wisdom. I will give you courage. And I will give you whatever it takes to help you through it. Because I will never leave you or forsake you. And I will never put you in a situation that I know you can't handle. Let's rejoice in that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my hope and my prayer for each one here today is that we can begin to see our life as living a just life. A life where we know that maybe our perception of what justice is based on what we want and what we think should happen. We cry out for justice every day because we read the stories, and maybe it's crying out for justice that's in our own lives affecting us personally, and we know what we want, but sometimes it's not what you want. So help us, Lord, to know what is right. Help us to think at the past, not dwell on it, but to know past experiences, so that we are ready for today and that we prepare ourselves for tomorrow, and help us to make our decisions based on that, but also based on what you believe, what you want for us. So give us the courage and the wisdom to do that, but also give us a heart for justice, for equality, for righteousness. And help us, Lord,
to not make those decisions based on our own desires, but help us to take them to you. And I pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.